You may never look at your city, town, or its people the same way ever again. Stained by Blood, a murder investigation based upon a true story by private investigator Douglas J. Hagman. Using the character Mark Stiles, Hagman takes you on a journey behind the scenes where the homicide becomes secondary to an underworld of satanic ritual abuse, child abduction, and even mind-controlled experimentation. A world dismissed as conspiracy by those who want to keep its secrets hidden, exposing the dangers, denials, and deceptions. For 5 years, a brutal killer remained on the loose, free to kill again. As Mark struggles to navigate the maze of bizarre twists and untangle a web of deeply hidden secrets kept by some of the most powerful and influential people in his community and beyond. You may never look at your city, town, or its people the same way ever again. Stained by Blood. Order your copy of this engaging novel today at HagmanandHagman.com and click on the link. Stained by Blood.
Duty and just got, yeah, just that look. And Eric just Eric's teasing me right now. It's a combination of lighting, I don't know what it is, but anyway, it doesn't matter. It's all good. We're upcoming as soon as we can get contacting all of our wires together. Carl Gallup's, do you know about Carl Gallup's? Have you been to carlgallups.com? Well, let me just do this. Let me just type in here his website, because I've got it right here. Okay, see, it's carlgallups.com. That's G-A-L-L-U-P-S, carlgallups.com.
He's got an interesting website.
And actually, he's got the live feed up on his website, carlgallups, G-A-L-L-U-P-S.com. Now, you know Carl Gallups. You've heard Carl Gallups.
Yeah, you definitely heard.
I guarantee...
If you don't know who he is, I'm sure our audience, for the vast majority, has heard him.
As soon as you hear his voice. Now, he's one of my favorite authors and writers, talk show hosts. He's a senior pastor of Hickory Hammock Baptist Church in Milton, Florida. He's been there since 1987. He is what I strive for. And the Amazon top 60 best-selling author. I broke 100 once. That was about 30 seconds, and then I, you know. But anyway, he's a conservative talk radio host. He's heard nationally and internationally for the last decade. Decade and a half actually. He's also a TV, radio, and print media guest commentator. He's a former decorated Florida law enforcement officer. Got my vote right there. He's a current sworn special deputy with the Maricopa County, Arizona Sheriff's Office under the appointment of Sheriff Joe Arpaio. You might remember our dialogue with Sheriff Joe and others. He's the founder of Internet PINN News and Ministry Network. How about ppsimmons.com? You're familiar with that, folks. He's a member of the Board of Regents at the University of Mobile in Mobile, Alabama. He's a graduate of the Florida Police Training Academy, Florida State University, and the New Orleans Baptist Theological Seminary, where he's got a Master of Divinity. The author of Be Thou Prepared, Equipping the Church for Persecution and Times of Trouble. Well, we're there, folks. What a great book. Be Thou Prepared. Okay. And you can go to carlgallups.com, Amazon. Check it out. Also, the author of The Rabbi Who Founded, The Rabbi Who Found Messiah, the story of Yitzhak Kaduri and his prophecies of the end time. Final Warning, Understanding the Trumpet Days of Revelation. He's got a lot of great articles, news, videos right on his website, Carl Gallups, GALLUPS.com, and we are so pleased, so thankful, and so honored to have Carl Gallups with us. Mr. Gallups, thanks for joining us tonight, sir.
Doug, Joe, listen, the honor is mine. Thank you for that very gracious introduction. But it is my honor to be with you guys tonight. Thanks for having me.
Well, you know, it was so interesting, Mr. Gallops, how this all came about. Joe and I were talking about you, and this was, I don't know, this is like a week or two ago. It was a couple of weeks ago now. And we were talking about you, and we were talking about different people that we wanted to have on. And we were going through, somebody had sent us a letter. And this woman is from Florida, and she had written and said, "Please have Carl Gallops on your program."
Wow! Okay. Thanks.
Yeah, you know. So it was that very same day we received some information about how to contact you via your personal assistant, I believe it is, And it was all. I mean, it was divine. It was divinely inspired. And right then, I said, "Man, Joe, this is it." So, I mean, I wrote right and said, "Hey, let's get him on." So, thank you. Okay, Mr. Gallops, I think I think the people know who you are based on the introduction now. Did I miss anything that you might want to add?
Are you asking me? No, you said quite enough, brother. Thank you. And by the way, listen, I appreciate the courtesy, but please call me Carl. God bless you, though. I appreciate
all right, sir.
The courtesy.
All right. Yeah, it's just
Yes, I do know.
It's a habit. Yeah. All right. We have so many. We got like a ton of questions to ask you, but you've got such a marvelous website where you have gone. I mean, the topics that you tackle are on my heart every day, from evolution to the transgender issue to, well, everything end of times, basically. And you look, like we do, at everything through a biblical perspective.
Yes.
Let's start out with a wide angle view, if we can. The view from 30,000 feet as we're cruising over the Earth. What time is it? Where are we right now?
Listen, that's a tremendous question. And Doug and Joe, here's what I tell folks. For those in your audience that might not know me or know my material, listen, I want people to know, and you said it, I was a cop for 10 years before God called me into the ministry, and there's a long story there of how all that happened. But I've been the pastor of one church for 30 years, a senior pastor of a Southern Baptist church on the Gulf Coast, very solid, doctrinally sound, conservative Southern Baptist church. So I said that to say this. Look, I'm not a date setter. I don't run around screaming the sky is falling. I don't stand on the street corner with a placard on my back saying the end is near. But here's what I do. I'm a preacher and teacher of the Word and have been for decades. I'm fairly intelligent. I'm fairly educated. So I know how to read and to analyze. I was a cop, a criminal investigator. I know how to collect information and weed out the bad and put in the good. And here's the bottom line, guys. This is what I tell folks. I'm not setting dates, but I'm saying we're living in profoundly prophetic times. And let me just give you some of the clock counters here, some of the guideposts. First of all, we're the first and the only generation to see the 2600-year prophecy of Israel returning to the land in the last days. We are that generation. And anyone here that was born after 1948, anyone that's listening, you know, it's so easy for us. By the way, I was born in 55, so I'm one of those people. And it's so easy for us to think, well, you know, that's cool. Israel's in the Middle East, and yes, it's a contentious situation, but you know it's always been there. No, it hasn't. It hasn't even been there 70 years. Prior to that, it had been 2,600 years before it was there. So you've got these prophecies in both the Old and the New Testament that speak of the return of Israel in the last days, and we're the only generation in almost three millennia to see that happen. On top of that, in Ezekiel 37 speaks of that coming back to life of Israel in the last days, but the very next chapter in Ezekiel 38 says that when a returned Israel appears in the land, and once it's established and safe and secure, and obviously I'm paraphrasing, guys, but this is the biblical truth. Ezekiel 38 says there will be a coalition of nations that will align themselves and will eventually come together to attack Israel. And that coalition of nations, the names are given from the old table of nations in Genesis 10. They're mainly by tribal names, but they correlate, they align. And historians and, you know, and sociologists and archaeologists, they know this, what I'm getting ready to say. These names in Ezekiel 38 align with modern nations. And the two biggest alliances that are spoken of in Ezekiel 38, written 2,600 years ago, is when Israel returns to the land, Russia will align with Iran. And then it goes on to name other countries that are situated in and around the Middle East, Turkey, Syria, Lebanon, you know, and Libya. And it says they will eventually align into a coalition that will eventually attack Israel in the last days. Well, we're the first generation to see this alignment of nations. Russia and Iran are in cahoots and have been since the 90s by treaties and compacts. And now we know all about the nuclear arms proliferation agreement between the United States and Iran and the shenanigans that Russia has played in that. And now, guys, we're watching Russia and China have shown up in the Middle East, in Syria, together with troops, aligning with each other and aligning with Iran for the first time in history. I mean, I could go on and on. The proliferation of this explosion of technological advancements. You guys were talking about some of that in your first hour. We're the first generation to see this. We're the first generation to see Russia and China in the Middle East. We're the first generation to see Israel returned. We're the first generation to see Israel recapture Jerusalem. We're the first generation to see all of the biblical prophecies of technology that are necessary. A one world marking system. The whole world seeing something at once, a person who could literally rule and or strongly influence the entire world, signs and wonders from the heavens, all of these things. We're the first generation to see this. Internet technology, cell phone technology, I mean, one world communications, the Tower of Babylon has been rebuilt. You don't even need translators anymore. You can just go on the internet and it's instantly translated for you. All of the peoples, all of the nations can speak together at once. Listen, I could talk about this for hours, but let me just whittle it down to this. Guys, I'm not setting dates, but I'm telling you, we're either very close to the rapture of the church, or, depending upon which view of eschatology you come from, we're very close to seeing the rise of the Antichrist and the church being in for some tough times. The bottom line is, without setting dates, I'm saying we're living in profoundly prophetic times. We are the first generation to, and I could go back through that list again. Does that answer your question?
Very eloquently stated, I must say. I could not agree more with what you just, how you laid that out.
Yeah, from the technological issues to Israel becoming a nation again, all these things that you mentioned that prophecy talks about are happening right before our eyes.
Yeah, yeah. Guys,
and one of the biggest things is Israel.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. No, that's when the countdown clock started, I'm convinced. And listen, I this is going to sound like a cheap plug, but I promise I won't make it cheap, and I won't turn it into a plug. I'm just saying, in early fall, I do have a brand new book coming out. All of my books, you were mentioning them earlier, have been published by WND Books out of Washington. They're great publishers with a huge, huge outreach and marketing capabilities. But I've got a brand new one coming out this fall that speaks of exactly what you asked me, Doug, from the very beginning. And I start with the return of Israel, and I go through everything I just said, plus much more in great, great detail. Listen, Tom Horn, you guys are going to have him on. He's a dear friend of mine, and I've known him for a while, been on his shows, and we've spent a lot of time together. You know, he's done a lot of work in this transhumanism technology, and I've got a lot of that in my book. I mean, people are going to be blown away. I'm sure you guys are aware, but I mean, even the United Nations 2030 agenda, the United Nations has aligned themselves with two biometric companies, major international companies, and they have set a date of 2030, which is only 13 and a half years away, and they are bragging about the fact, and you can go to these technology websites that are aligned with the UN, and they have huge articles about it. So this is not some conspiracy theory, some crazy preacher. And by the way, I am a crazy preacher, but what I'm saying is it's coming right out of the UN documents, and in my new book I have all of this documented. It's coming right out of the technology headlines. By the year 2030, the UN says, quote, we will have every single human being, man, woman, boy, and girl, marked by the year 2030, identified for the sake of, and they actually say this, peace and security. Those words come straight out of the scriptures about the one world mark and the one world order promising peace and security in the last days. I'm not making this stuff up, guys. All of this is
You couldn't. Yeah. I mean, seriously, no one... It fits too nicely into this. Yeah, no one would believe you because it's scripted. But it is scripted.
Yes.
I mean, we know... Right. Yeah. one thing you had mentioned about Israel, the Middle East, and this is, if I can kind of plug us a little bit, we had talked about Benghazi. We had talked about, for example, you were a criminal investigator. You were an investigator. So I've been an investigator in the civil arena for the last three decades, and also worked as an operational asset. An informational asset for the Department of Justice and the FBI. So you develop instincts, you develop training, your training guides you along things. And I'm looking at everything, and as you dissect what has gone on in the Middle East under the Obama regime, I won't even call it an administration, it didn't start there, but certainly accelerated there. I'm looking at, and I'm saying, man, everything is matching up with Bible prophecy. We bring on guests that talk about, you know, Tom Horn, like you said, and others. And you've done some great work, by the way, in your writings. It's just fabulous. Well, it's exciting. I don't know if fabulous is the word, but exciting because we know how the story ends. But I just want to mention this. The connection, and you connected dots as a criminal investigator, and still do in your research. Going backwards from today, you can see how the Arab Spring was planned in advance, and how that facilitated the consortium of nations that we're seeing now coalesce in the Middle East. Then Benghazi, we can see that was nothing more than ISIS or a gun running operation to take out Assad in Syria, and I'm simplifying it very, of course.
Right.
But essentially, right now, and even for the last couple of years, we've been toe to toe militarily and intelligence against Russia, and to a lesser extent China in Syria. And I'll just say this and get your response. I've often said that World War III is not going to start necessarily with Iran, but in Syria and over Syria.
Yeah.
And go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry. We've got just a little bit of a delay. I'm so sorry. I didn't mean to overstep you. But I was just going to say, Doug, have you been reading the manuscript to my new book? This is amazing. I mean, I talk about all of that in great detail and document it. Listen, you've hit the nail on the head. The bottom line is, look, I also am blessed to have a radio program and have been on the radio for years, and I can remember when Arab Spring actually erupted and made the headlines of Drudge. I mean, as it happened, I was in studio. It was on a Friday, 2011, I think, and it was happening as I was live on the air. And so I was talking about it and reporting on it, and people were calling and folks were panicking. I had guests from Israel. I've got some contacts inside Israel, as you guys probably do as well. And they were calling and saying, what is going on? This is ridiculous. What is the United States thinking? At the same time, headlines broke out of Great Britain that British intelligence was indicating that the United States was deeply behind and directly connected to Arab Spring. A few days afterwards, once it became apparent to the powers that be that this was being seen, it was being reported by the mainstream media and being seen by most of the world at first as a very positive thing. You know, here comes freedom and democracy throughout the Middle East. This is wonderful. And it wasn't but a few days later that Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton stepped forward and took credit for actually instigating or propping up or laying the foundation to Arab Spring. Now, of course, eventually the whole thing crumbled down and blew up, and eventually we had civil wars and overthrowing of regimes and establishing new regimes and overthrowing those regimes and establishing yet another regime. I'm thinking of Egypt right now. And then, of course, Syria, and then that invited Russia in. Russia comes in. They start making compacts with Iran. Iran starts talking about ramping up its nuclear technology. They're going to wipe Israel off the map. Then China sees all of this. China sees an opportunity to establish its very first military base, not in the Middle East, but along the eastern coast of Africa, but yet within just a hop, skip, and a jump by jets and all of their, you know, technology into the Middle East. And so they establish a military base just a few hundred miles from one of the United States' most prestigious or most strategic is the word I was looking for, military bases in that area. We use it to monitor the entire Middle East. China comes in, and then Russia, then they offer to Russia, look, we'll send military troops into Syria with you. Russia says, great. Vladimir Putin sticks out his chest. He talks about it. The next thing you know, China and Russia are in the Middle East. They're in cohort with Iran. You know, Turkey shoots down a Russian jet, and then they start rattling sabers. And I'm telling you guys, this is all stuff of prophecy. And the point to everything I just said with that quick little timeline, and I'm saying, as you said, Doug, I oversimplified the whole thing, but the bottom line is this. It was instigated by Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton by their own admission. And again, in my new book coming, I've got I've got their speeches, I've got their words, I've got it all documented. So, yes, I think we're living in very prophetic times, and if you want to be able to discern the times, start by watching what's happening in the Middle East. Start by what's happening in Israel. Don't sit in America watching Dancing with the Stars and drinking a Starbucks coffee and think everything must be okay with the world. It's not. Hundreds of thousands of Christians are being slaughtered and scattered, and Christianity is being exterminated in the Middle East. That word exterminated was used by the New York Times. I mean, this is prophetic of enormous, monumental proportion, guys.
Man, you're exactly right. Exterminated, you know, without much whimpering or objection from the talking heads here in the United States. How often do you hear people like Sean Hannity, Rush Limbaugh, and, you know, I'm not trying to disparage them, but shouldn't we be really ringing the alarm bells off the clock tower? Because we're seeing the wholesale slaughtering of Christians in the Middle East, and we're standing around and really allowing, if not facilitating, what's really taking place. And it's abhorrent. I don't know. Why is no one talking about this? Or a few people talking about this?
Yeah, well, no, listen, you're right. The mainstream media is not. Now, you are, and you guys are huge. I am. I'm writing books about it. I'm all over the air. I'm on TV and radio. I'm in WND.com all the time. WND writes about it. From time to time, you'll see headlines and Drudge. And as I said, I've seen a few scant articles in the mainstream over the years. And as I said, I've had documented in my newest book coming out from the New York Times. They actually had a reporter write in the headline, said something about, is Christianity being wiped out in the Middle East? So, but you're right. Overall, this should be a matter of horror. This should be a matter of, I mean, it's genocide. and tens of thousands of orphans, and look at the you know, the refugee crisis, and of course ISIS is using that against Europe and the United States of America. Our own FBI says that they're tracking ISIS cells in all 50 states right now, and they're still pouring in, and Barack Obama shipping them in from Syria, Muslims, which is yes. why Donald Trump has gained so much traction by saying, look, we're going to build a wall, I'm going to halt the flow of Muslims until we can vet them, until we can get a grip on it. So you've got all of this happening, and the mainstream media either doesn't report it, or they underreport it, or they lampoon those of us who do report it. And again,
amen. Yes.
Yeah. And again, Doug and Joe, I just think it's all a part of the last day scenario. I do. They're useful idiots for the one world order.
Amen to that. Now, I had actually a list of questions to ask you. This is one that I wanted to ask you. That your picture with Sheriff Joe Arpaio, and this flows right in. It's a nice segue into what we're talking about here.
Okay.
One of the issues that I've been following as an investigator, professional investigator in my own right, and I've shared information with people about Barack Hussein Obama, about his background, Barry Satoro. Of course, you know the entire story. I guess my question is, I'd like you to address who in the heck is Barack Hussein Obama? Because I certainly don't know. I mean, as an investigator, I could not vet him to be a dog catcher, you know. Yeah. And I know that Sheriff Arpaio, his cold case posse team, and others, they've looked at this. Why back in 2008? I guess this is a three-part question. Number one, who is he? Number two, why was he selected and then allowed to and even elevated into the position by even the people like Bush and others? And thirdly, I guess we could start. Thirdly is, why did people push so hard back in 2008, saying this is just a distraction? Don't worry about it. Fight them on policy, not on some, you know, birther conspiracy nonsense. Your thoughts on this?
Yeah. Well, guys, if you have three more hours, we can talk about it. No. I'll give you my short answers, and then if you want, you know, more information, or you want me to keep talking about things, you just prod me along. But, you know, don't throw me in this briar patch, Briar Rabbit, you know. Said Briar Rabbit. Well, here's the thing, guys. Yes, I am very closely connected to Sheriff Joe Arpaio and his investigation on this, and lead investigator Mike Zullo, and I am a sworn deputy sheriff, a special deputy sheriff, the Maricopa County Sheriff's Office, a badge, ID, swearing in, the whole thing. I mean, it's official. It's not just some little, you know, plastic badge. I mean, and it's for real. And the reason for that is because I've been involved in this. I mean, I've gone to Washington, D.C. with Mike Zullo. We've gone into congressmen's offices. We've sat with congressmen in their office in the Capitol building. We've sat with them in private, secret meeting rooms. Mike Zullo has gone, spoken to federal judges in private meetings about all that they know. Yeah, the bottom line is, guys, I probably know a whole lot more about this. Well, I do know a whole lot more about this than I'm allowed to speak. But let me address what I can. You asked, who is he? Well, the things I'm going to say, these are things that people have been talking about, but I want to remind folks. Listen, guys, everybody, you know, the mainstream media likes to disparage and to denigrate those of us who simply ask the question, is the man in the White House constitutionally eligible to be there? Now, that is a legitimate legal constitutional question. You know, people say, you're a birther. Well, wait a minute. If by birther you mean, do I care where the commander-in-chief was born? Then I guess I am a birther. By birther, do you mean that I have questions about the birthplace and or the legitimate identity of the commander-in-chief and the man who's got his finger on the red button and who commands the most powerful superpower that the world has ever seen, then call me a birther. I guess I am. Now, if you mean you're calling me a birther because I have stomped my foot and declared, I quote, know for a fact that Barack Obama was not born in the United States, end quote. I have never said that officially in any way. So it depends on how one wants to use the term birther, but I want to remind you guys and your audience, the first birther was Hillary Clinton. And Chris Matthews verified that, and I've got all this on PNN. We've got the in fact, I sent the transcripts just the other day to Mike Zullo. We were talking about this, and the transcripts of Chris Matthews' show are still on the internet. I had to dig, but I found them, wherein early on in the campaign, Hillary Clinton in 2007, 2008, and all when they were, you know, the campaign was going on, Hillary Clinton was the leader. She just knew she was going to be crowned and there was going to be a coronation and she was going to be the president. And here was this senator from Illinois who, you know, had a Muslim background, and he did have a Muslim background. He wrote about it. Everybody knows he was raised in Indonesia in Muslim schools. That doesn't make him a get down on a prayer rug and read the Quran five times a day kind of Muslim, but he had a Muslim background. And she was talking about that. And because all of a sudden this guy was coming out of nowhere, and he was gaining traction, and Hillary Clinton, I was in a motel room in South Florida, getting ready to preach a conference. I turned on the television as I was getting dressed. I heard with my own ears and saw Hillary Clinton on camera say, she was furious that this guy was gaining all this traction. She said, well, my campaign, we have information that Barack Obama is not even eligible. He's not even qualified to be, not qualified. She said he's not eligible. We've got documentation that's going to completely derail his campaign. And she said, I'll be releasing that information in the next 4 days. Well, when she said that, I mean, I had already been studying this because people were already making the allegations. And when I first heard the allegations that he wasn't born here, he was born in Kenya. Those were some of the first allegations. I was on the radio. I had callers calling me up saying this. I took them to task. I said, guys, that can't be. The powers that be wouldn't let a foreigner run for president. I said, that can't be. So, you know, my radar was up. I started researching. And the more I researched, the more disturbed I became. And then I hear Hillary Clinton say it while she's running. I mean, and the next thing I know, Chris Matthews actually in a hardball segment chews Hillary Clinton out, guys, not because they didn't call her a liar, but Chris Matthews chewed her out for revealing it. And he actually said that she said he was born in Kenya, and he was mad that she, quote, revealed it. You know? And so, I mean, this is unbelievable. Wow. Yet, here we are years later, we're still asking, where is this guy from? And, oh, you're birthers. You're ignorant. You're a bunch of conspiracy theorists. Well, excuse me. It all started with Hillary Clinton and Chris Matthews, two of the biggest liberals out there. And so I just say to your audience, please, please, and there's so much I can't say, but just hear me, guys. Think about this. As soon as he takes office, he spends $1.7 million. He locks down every identifying document in his life. Those documents are still locked down. The next thing I want your audience to remember is this. This is just common sense. There is not a single hospital in the United States that officially claims to be the birthplace of Barack Hussein Obama. Now, how can that be? America's first, quote, black president wins the Nobel Peace Prize within months of taking office, travels the world as some kind of messiah. Magazines actually use the word messiah in the early days of his taking, you know, the office. And there's not a hospital that they don't. There's not a plaque on any wall. There's not a monument. There's not a statue. There's not been an official press release of how proud we are that he was born here. Not a single hospital in the United States claims to be the birthplace of this man. How odd is that? Now, that's not evidence that you can convict somebody on. That's what we call in law enforcement circumstantial evidence. But that's some pretty heavy-duty circumstantial evidence. So then, as you continue to explore this thing, you run into the stuff that Hillary Clinton knew and that Hillary Clinton found out. And so, I mean, I could go on and on with this. And then finally, and get this, guys, finally, he puts a long-form birth certificate on the White House website. And remember, for several years prior to that, his press officer, and I can't even remember his name, he was the first one, and then he left, but he was telling those who were asking about a birth certificate, because Obama had first put up a short form, and they were saying, we want a long form. We want to see a long form, not some little short form, little thing that you get. Anybody can get one of those from Hawaii. And they were telling us for 2 years, those don't exist anymore. Hawaii doesn't issue those anymore. There's no such thing anymore. After such and such a date, Hawaii quit giving out long-form birth certificates. Well, the next thing you know, people who had long-form birth certificates started bringing them forth, and they were all over the Internet. The next thing you know, Donald Trump, who, by the way, is a good friend of Sheriff Joe Arpaio, Donald Trump comes forward publicly, and he becomes a birther, if you guys will remember that. He starts challenging Barack Obama. He offered to pay Barack Obama millions of dollars that to give to charity, any charity of his choice, if he would release his documents, his identifying documents, and a birth certificate. That was about the same time Jerome Corsi's book was coming out, Where's the Birth Certificate? And just before all of that happened, magically, a long-form birth certificate shows up on the White House website. You know, the document that they couldn't get, the document that we were lampooned for even asking about because they didn't produce it anymore, the document that was impossible to produce because there was no such thing, all of a sudden, because Donald Trump is challenging him, it shows up. Now, that's when document experts, just novice people as well as people that were in the industry, started pulling that PDF down and examining it, and within hours, all over the Internet, document experts were saying, this thing is fishy. It's got multiple layers. It's got shadows. It's got some different fonts are used throughout. I mean, you know, people, within hours, guys. That's how Sheriff Arpaio got involved. A few months after all of that, his citizens of his county produced a petition to him. Hundreds of signatures of his constituents said, we think we might have been defrauded in the presidential election in Maricopa County. We're asking our chief law enforcement officer to run an investigation on it. Now, I can tell you guys this. I know Mike Zullo very, very personally. We talk on the phone 3 to 4 times a week, and we have for years. As I said, we've been to Washington, D.C. together for days. We've been in each other's homes. I've been in Arpaio's office behind closed doors with him twice at his request for 2 hours each time. I've been deputized by him. And I can tell you that that when how this all came about, Arpaio was confronted with this petition, and they were saying, please do this, investigate this. And Arpaio called in Mike Zullo, who was the chief investigator of his cold case posse, and this is what Arpaio told Zullo. Zullo told me this in the early days, and Arpaio has told me this several times. He said, I called in Mike Zullo, and I said to him, I want to be the sheriff to exonerate this man in the White House. Now, you got to remember, this was in the early, early days. He said, I don't believe. I think he was like me. It was incredulous to even believe that perhaps there was a fraud in the White House. And he told Mike Zullo, he said, I do not believe this document is fake. I do not believe it's a forgery or a fabrication. He says, I want you guys to investigate this. And he told Mike, he said, now I do want the truth. If it is a forgery or something, a fabrication, I want to know. He said, but I want to be the man that exonerates him on this birth certificate thing. And Arpaio was running for office again. He's a 6-time elected sheriff. And he said, I'm getting so tired of going to these meetings, particularly Tea Party meetings, which were really popular back then. He says, and that's all they want to talk about, is Obama and his birth certificate. He said, I'm getting tired of it. He says, so let's end this thing once and for all. So Mike Zullo, who admitted way back in the early days, he knew nothing about any of this. I mean, he didn't watch all that stuff on the news, and he said, okay, sure, we'll do it. So he got together his posse, his team. There was some there were some document experts, some lawyers, some ex-investigators, etc. He sits down. They go through it for hours. They start smelling a rat. They spend a few more days. They went back to Arpaio, and Zulo said, "Sheriff, sit down." He said, "I hate to tell you, but this thing stinks to high heaven." And the sheriff said, "What do you mean?" He said, "That thing that's on the White House website is fraught with problems. It is a complete fabrication." From there, a couple of years of investigation went into play. It's still going on deeply. Other doors have been opened. Other huge things have been revealed along the lines here. I can tell you a piece of information that Mike Zulo revealed on my program just a few weeks ago, and Sheriff Arpaio gave permission to reveal it, and that is that information, their investigation, is now in the hands of an international document expert corporation that has stellar reputation around the world. And Arpaio said that he was getting information back from them that he hoped to soon release, not only to the world, but to take to, and his words were, "If I have to take it in the back of a pickup truck and dump it in the FBI office, I will do it." And those were his words. So, I mean, so this thing's still going on, guys. This is no little thing. And so your first question, you know, who is he? Well, those are the things I want your listeners to think about, guys.
Sure. And the reason I asked that was really because I truly believe, and we were on top of this back in 2008, following this very closely. And in fact, I have a great amount of respect for Mr. Zulo. And in fact, next time you talk with him, make sure you tell him I said hello. He may not remember me. I've had some conversations.
No,
I've had a few conversations. Okay, all right.
No, he knows who you are, and I'll probably talk to him tonight.
You know, I have just an enormous amount of respect for him, and I understand the limitations imposed because of the law enforcement, venue that you folks are under, that you can't talk about certain things. I get that, but I also I want to say this too. I believe I know the author or the producer, the perpetrator. I don't know what word to use. The creator of that document. I think Mike Zulo knows that too. But I don't know. I'm just, that's just my gut feeling. But and we've interviewed Jerome Corsi on this as well. But the reason I mention all of this is I just found it very interesting, the timing of this man, Barry Satoro, a junior senator from Illinois, in 2008. Granted, the 04 speech that he gave was, you know, was put him on the map. But the timing of this is very suspect. And then to have him come into office in 08, and then from 08, his apology tour in Egypt in 09, which really set off the firestorm in the Middle East. I really think that this was not happenstance, but this was planned out very carefully. And one of the critical components of the world, the geopolitical events, was having Obama at the helm in his capacity to relate to Muslim leaders in the Middle East. I don't know. That's just my kind of thinking, and maybe I'm off, you know. But
well, Doug, listen. A lot of people, people of wisdom and investigative skills, and thinkers and readers and researchers, share your same opinion, and I am along those same lines. And I can't get too detailed into all of it, but I too think that there was a concerted effort, a planned effort, a scripted effort behind much of this. Because here's the deal, guys. Either this guy is the dumbest, most reckless, most outrageously lawless, egocentric idiot that we've ever had in office, or he knows exactly what he's doing, and there are people pulling the strings with him or on him. I mean, it's one of the two, because I mean, how many times in these last 8 years have you two guys and I and many others, you know, how many times have we just scratched our head and said, "What is he thinking? What is he doing? What is this, and why is it that nobody will challenge him? The courts don't challenge him. The media doesn't challenge him. Heck, Congress doesn't challenge him. They bluster, they blow, they threaten, but they never do anything. I mean, all the way back to the gun running scandal, Eric Holder, the NSA scandal, the FBI scandal, the IRS scandal, the Benghazi scandal. I mean, you know, Arab Spring, the eruption in the Middle East, China, Russia, Iran, the nuclear. I mean, nobody challenges him. Yet the world's burning down, particularly in the Middle East, and most of it is by his doing, or you know, at least his laying the foundation. So it's either that this guy is the most reckless, dumbest, idiotic guy who's ever sat in the White House, or watch this, guys, he is fundamentally changing America on purpose.
Wow. Right. Nicely played, by the way. Yes, exactly. What else can be said? Except, I do think that, of course, the latter is true, and I think that we are watching this unfold as it was written. And you know, the biggest thing I see is a lot of times people today, most people today, aren't looking at current events through the prism of the Scripture and biblical prophecy. And if they were, it would be a sobering. They would sober up pretty quickly.
Yeah,
you know, I really think that. There's just so much to get into, and you are. By the way, you are such a talented writer, folks. I cannot say enough about Carl Gallup's writings. If you, WorldNet Daily features his articles, but CarlGallup.com, from there, use that as a springboard, of course. And some of your videos are just fantastic. Now, before we get too far into before we get to the break here, I want to ask, you have a radio show every Friday, right?
Yes.
Freedom Friday? Okay.
Yeah. It's called Freedom Friday with Carl Gallups. Thank you. Yes.
Okay. And that's at 5 o'clock Eastern every Friday, correct?
That's correct. 5 to 7 every Friday.
Mm-hmm. Okay. That's really, folks, you know, before you tune into our show, definitely that's really worth the 2 hours investment of time. So go to carlgallups.com, and right there on the left you'll see Listen to Carl Live Freedom Friday, and just hook up, because I'm just going through here. You had a couple of, I heard one, I don't know, it was a week or two ago, I'm not sure which, but it was just a fast. You've just got a tremendous platform there, and I just want to thank you for your radio program. All right. Wow, where do we even go next?
I got a question.
Yeah, go ahead.
Carl, if you could go back to what you were talking about the Obama birth certificate and where Trump mm-hmm. got involved.
Yeah.
I wanted to ask you if you remember right after Trump got involved and started making noise about the long-form birth certificate, about a week after that, I remember, a week after a press conference from Donald Trump, the president came out and announced the death of Osama bin Laden. Do you remember that?
Oh,
when,
yes.
When he did that? And he,
yes.
What are your thoughts? Do you think that was a misdirection to pull? I mean, because that's when a lot of what you were talking about with the birth certificate, the anomalies, the people coming out with videos showing where the errors were on the long form, and Trump got involved, and it seemed like there started to be some momentum there. And then all of a sudden, that stopped after the announcement of the death of Osama bin Laden. Do you think that was planned that way? What's your thoughts on the Osama bin Laden death?
Well, all I can give is my speculation. I've followed that. I've read everything I can get my hands on. I don't have any inside contacts on that story. Not deep inside. I've got some peripheral contacts, but I agree with you, Joe. I think I'm speaking with Joe, right? Is that who I was?
Yeah.
Okay, I thought so. But Joe, I agree with you that I think that it was a chessboard play. I think it was a move, and here's what I mean. I think that our government has known, they knew where Obama was. I think they knew for a long time. And it's kind of like, this is just my opinion, okay, guys? But just from everything I've read and putting two plus two together, I'm coming up with four. I could be mistaken on this in the long run. We may find out years later I was completely off base on this. But here's what I think happened. I think when Obama went in office, they knew where bin Laden was. And I think he put it in his back pocket for the ace he could pull when he needed it as a distraction. if he needed a boost in the ratings, if he needed to be seen as a national hero, if he needed to redirect something major in the news. And of course, if in fact, I'm just going to use the word if, let's say if in fact he is illegally in the White House and he would know that, then they would know going in that there would be times where they would have to pull aces out of their back pocket to continue to manipulate the media and the information that the people are getting. So you're right. At about the same time that Trump comes out, who's a good friend of Arpaio, Arpaio's running this deep investigation, and Donald Trump comes out and starts jabbing, starts poking Obama in the chest on evening television news, and then offering millions of dollars for Obama to start releasing records. And I mean, you know, the bottom line, guys, look, if I'm in that White House and I know I am perfectly legal and somebody comes along that I think is an idiot, now I don't think Donald Trump's an idiot, but Obama did. If I think he's an idiot and he's offering me millions of dollars, I would get a hold of my White House attorney and in 10 minutes I would be producing any records he wanted and say, give me the money. But you could only do that if you truly were legitimate. And so right about that same time, Jerome Corsi, who I know personally, Jerome Corsi, getting ready to release his book, Arpaio and Zulo doing a deep criminally forensic investigation, Donald Trump, friends with Sheriff Arpaio, he comes out poking Obama in the chest, boom, up comes a birth certificate. We later find out is fabricated and forged and a fraud, but up comes a birth certificate. The media picks it up and says, oh, well, there you go. There it is. Long form birth certificate. There it is. He's an American citizen. Case closed. And the next thing you know, boom, Osama bin Laden. Look who I killed. I'm America's new hero. And you're right, Joe. It just all happened, just boom, boom, boom. And I think it was scripted. I think they knew where he was. I think they've been knowing. They knew for a long time. I think that ace was in his back pocket. And I think he thought he needed to play a Trump card. No pun intended.
Yeah. Go ahead.
No,
go ahead.
Just a follow-up. Do you think there was a time in that area of time we just talked about where Trump decided, you know, I might have to run or... And we don't have to get into the breakdown of why Trump's running or even succeeding in this presidential race, but do you think this played into it at all?
You know, I don't have any inside information on that where I can say I know it played into it, but I suspect it did. Donald Trump didn't get where he is by being a fool. And I'm sure with the money he has, the power, the influence he has internationally, I'm sure that he has an investigation process. I mean, how easy would it be for him to instantly employ some of the best technological experts and investigative experts in the world? I'm sure he has reams and reams of information. About
Carl, I turned over, and I'm trying to remember the date. It had to be 3 years ago now. I turned over some information to Donald Trump's one of his assistants about our investigation into Obama, into Barry Satoro, it had to do with a source I had talked to. But I turned the information over to Donald Trump. I mean, I said that only to make sure that people understand that Mr. Trump was very serious about this, because, you know, who am I? Just an investigator who developed some information. But it's interesting to go back and to look at how all of this has been really choreographed in some respects, and how Donald Trump has fit into things back then and even today now in a whole different capacity. We've got about 90 seconds before the top of the hour. In that time, Carl, do you mind just giving your new book coming out a plug?
Well, thank you.
Please, if you don't mind.
Yeah, thanks. I can give the title because I think it's already available for pre-order in digital format, but it will be out in a deluxe softcover edition, full-size book by fall. So I'm not allowed to go into great detail, detail by detail, but I can give you the general overview. It's called When the Lion Roars, Understanding the Prophetic Implication of Our Times. And it comes that title, it comes from Amos chapter 3, verses 8 and 9, where, and I'm paraphrasing, I don't have the scriptures right in front of me, but it basically starts off by saying, when the trumpet blows in a city, is that not a warning from God? Has not God done this when judgment comes? And then it goes on to say, when the lion roars, who can help but prophesy? And of course, the lion being the Word of God, or the Lion of Judah, the Word that became flesh, Jesus himself, and prophecy. So, in other words, when the Word of God says something, and you're the first generation to see it happen, well, if one thing happened like that, that would be pretty startling. But what if dozens of things like that happened? And that's what's going on in the world right now. Yeah.
Yeah, I can't wait for that. And, of course, your current bestsellers, Be Thou Prepared, The Rabbi Who Found Messiah, Final Warning, The Magic Man in the Sky.
Yeah, thanks.
All of these available on Amazon. Go to carlgallops.com and springboard from there. Folks, you're listening to the very special edition of Hagman Hagman Report. We'll be back here right after the top of the hour. Stay right where you're at.
This is the Global Star Radio Network.